One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." This is the opening verse of Luke 11 that Trish just read to us. Which of his disciples asked this of Jesus? You might remember that Andrew and John were both disciples of John the Baptist. And when Jesus came along, John told them to go follow the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So maybe it was one of them. Maybe. We don't know which one it was really. But the point is, one of them said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." I hope you've been encouraged by the stories you've heard this morning from our friends Angela and from Jerry and from Steve. I couldn't have scripted that. I don't even have any say in the songs that we sing on the morning. I couldn't have done that better. You don't have to have been an SMBC scholar to work out from reading the Gospels that prayer was central to the life of Jesus in his ministry on earth. How many times do we read of him going somewhere quiet, somewhere secluded to pray? How powerful is the record of Jesus praying even as he knew people were coming to arrest him? How much do you think Jesus valued prayer in those hours before he was tried and sent to the cross? Even on the cross, Jesus prayed for those people who were putting the nails through his hands and his feet. How much do you think Jesus valued prayer? Of all the skills and abilities I've learnt over the years, I think the one I value above every other ability is the ability to read. I think that's the one I value above everything. But I had to be taught how to read. My parents started off, when I was a little boy, teaching me to read. And then I went to school and teachers taught me how to read better and give me more and more complex books to read. And my development in being able to read has got to the point today where I can read the types of books that I enjoy reading. I believe prayer is very, very similar, if not exactly the same. I believe prayer is something we have to learn. It's something that we are taught. And I think that's my point in what I say to you this morning. It's a skill that has to be learned, a skill that is taught to us. And just like anything you have to learn, you will be frustrated in your learning. You'll have triumphs and you'll have tragedies. But the more you understand why you are learning to pray, the more you know the purpose of prayer, the more you will value it, and the more you will want to develop your ability in this area and your desire to be devoted to prayer. It's not always the most motivating strategy to tell someone it will take you a lifetime to master something, but my hope is that your experience will be like mine, in that as you develop your praying, you will enjoy it more, you will see it in a value far beyond just something we have to do because Jesus told us to do it, or because the elders tell you to do it, or because somebody else told you to do it, your parents. I hope you will see it as a part of this strategy in becoming a passionate, devoted, committed disciple of Jesus. And you will find its value in that rather than just something you have to do. So the disciple asked Jesus to teach them to pray, and Jesus repeats the pattern he gave the crowd at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, what we know today as the Lord's Prayer. But Jesus follows this with illustrations designed to impress on the disciples and us the need to be persistent in prayer and how God is generous in giving us what we need. This is Luke 11, 5 to 8. Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.'" So you've got the story so far. Then it gets a little bit funny. Jesus has an odd way of saying this next bit. "I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is a friend, Yet because of the man's boldness, he will give him what he needs. Why did Jesus tell this story right after the disciples asked him to teach them to pray? Why did Jesus tell this story? So we would be persistent in our praying. Is that the message you get? That's the message I get. Boldness, persistence, be committed. And why should we be persistent in our praying? Doesn't God know what we're going to pray before we even say it? Yes, he does. And doesn't God know how he's even going to answer our prayers before we say them? Yes, he does. So what is the point? I think it's in what the man in the house gives his friend. What does he end up giving him? He gives the man asking for bread as much as he needs. As much as he needs. A superficial look at this story might lead us to conclude that we are the man banging on the door of the friend at midnight. Our friend in the house with the door locked and his children in bed for the night is God. And if we keep banging on the door long enough, God will give us what we want and we should pray with persistence. I hope that's not the message you're taking home from this story. This would be a poor interpretation, I think, of the story and lead to frustration and disillusionment with our praying, because we all know that we don't always get what we ask God for. We don't always get what we ask God for. This story is about our part in praying. We are to be persistent in our praying. Just to show you from Scripture that this is so, a few verses that make this point. And if I was at school, I would say, Henry, if you've heard this before, I'm not going to do that. In your heart, have you heard this one before? Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. The ESV says, be constant in prayer. The NLT says, keep on praying. Do you get the picture? I hope you do. Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves. That's a big word. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Keeping up, Bill? You're doing a good job. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we are to be persistent in our praying. But remember what Alan mentioned a couple of weeks ago. He looked at how we are to be more like Jesus. He reminded us from Matthew 11 that Jesus said, his yoke is not a burden. It doesn't add to our load. Our praying should likewise not be something that is a burden, that is a load, that weighs us down. Your praying should not be like that. If it is, talk to someone about that. You're doing it wrong. You're not doing it wrong. You need to talk to someone about how to change that. JJ, myself, somebody you trust, somebody you know. Be persistent in your prayers, not because you will simply badger God through praying and eventually get what you want, but something even better than what you want that you may not even know. You will get what you need. You will get what you need. What do we need? Jesus tells us in the second little story that Trish read to us earlier. Luke 11:11-13. Which of you fathers, mothers, you can put yourselves in the picture here, if your son or daughter asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In the general scheme of things, it is unthinkable that a father or mother would give a child an evil gift. Although we know that you only have to turn on the news and you see evil perpetrated against little children all too often. But in the general scheme of things, we accept that parents do not give their children evil gifts. So if fathers will do that and they are evil, Jesus is talking here about people who are outside of the kingdom before they've come to Christ, their evil nature. Jesus just accepts that people are like that. If fathers will do that and they are evil, how much more will God then do good to his children, those who call him Father, Abba, as Jerry prayed this morning. That intimate term of a child talking to their father. How much more will God give good things to those who call him Father? Luke doesn't keep this a secret. He tells us what Jesus means. If our part of prayer is to be persistent, then God's part is to be generous in giving us what we need. God gives us only the best to meet our needs, and his best is his Holy Spirit. That is his best. There is much we could discuss about the role of the Holy Spirit in the lives of disciples of Jesus. In John 14:26, Jesus says he will remind us of what Jesus has said. In John 16:8, Jesus says he is our counselor, and in the very next verse, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit is very busy. The Holy Spirit is very busy. But let's look at John 16, verses 12 to 15. Jesus speaking here just hours before he is arrested. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Take a moment to just let that sink in. Again, Jesus' words sometimes aren't the easiest to follow, but just let that sink in. I feel like it's one of those passages we've read many times and have never really contemplated what it is saying. Yes, we will all receive the gift of the Spirit when we decide to surrender our lives to Jesus and he becomes Lord of our life. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. Not sure what to pray for? Not sure what to pray for? Pray that the Spirit of God would reveal to you all that the Father has made known to Jesus. Pray that prayer. See how you go with that prayer. About his salvation, his will for believers, his purpose for his church, his forgiveness, his compassion, his mercy, his love for humankind. Pray that prayer. Not sure what to pray for? Pray that that would be revealed to you. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. The Spirit will become our teacher. He will only guide you into truth because he will only teach what Jesus tells him, and Jesus is truth. Remember he said that in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. As we each humbly submit to the Spirit's teaching, we grow in spiritual wisdom and understanding and increasingly conform and become more like the image of Christ. This is the gift of God. And the same Spirit of God leads us away from sin. Paul writing to the Galatians in chapter 5 of that letter, verses 16 and 17. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. That is the conflict, isn't it? That is the conflict in our life. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. I'm sure I don't have to remind anyone here that there is a war going on within us, but the Holy Spirit is God's weapon that will keep the passionate disciple of Jesus through persistent praying to keep him walking in the Spirit. And this will lead you away from sin. That's the promise of God. He will lead you away from sin. How is this possible? Because you will find yourself praying so often you don't have time to sin. that's not quite how it works. That's not quite how things go. But what praying does is it reveals more and more the character and nature of our God who wants us to pray. You will find your prayers, I hope, moving from those shorter, basic prayers that focus on what we want or what we think we need. And sometimes those prayers are right and proper. I hope that there's a little kid perhaps over in Sunday school this morning praying one of those beautiful childlike prayers. But we're not children anymore. We are not children anymore. Our prayers should reflect where we are in our development as passionate disciples of Jesus. Not sure how that's going, not sure how to pray. We need to learn how to do that. And the Spirit will transform your desires from those that are simply for the gratification of your sinful old nature to those that reflect God's nature and character, like the fruit of the Spirit, which God reveals in later on in Galatians chapter 5. Those things will take the place of those things that we think are right, but we know in our heart they're not. And then Paul, after encouraging the Galatians to live in the Spirit and replace the sinful desires with the fruit of the Spirit, says that they should stay in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:24-25. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Here is the engine room of our prayers. The Spirit of God has a job to do in us, to transform us, conform us more and more into the image of Jesus. And this transforming work is beyond our abilities as humans. We can't do that. That is the Spirit's job. It's even beyond our will because of that war, that struggle that I mentioned earlier. Paul says we don't do the things we even want to do. We know the truth. We know what it says. We want to be like that. We can't do anything in our own strength. It is only God's Spirit. But what we can say, what we can do, is allow the Spirit to do his job, to surrender to his work in our lives, to be in step with his transforming work. How? If you could answer that word in one, that question in one word, what would you say? Prayer. Of course you would. Through prayer, surely. Even in Jesus' model of prayer we saw earlier in Luke 11 and Matthew 6, Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And while I'm sure there are very practical steps we can take to avoid those things that are battling with our old nature and our new life in Christ, we need to pray every day to allow God's Spirit to work in our lives that transforming action. And even in this, we have the Spirit to thank for making even this task achievable. Even in this, asking for the Spirit to do this, we have the Spirit to thank. Romans 8:26-27. In the same way, so Paul has just written about the Spirit helping us to wait for our hope to be revealed. In the same way, he says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with only God's will. Not our will, only God's will. We want to be in step with this work in our lives. We don't want to make that process harder, but easier. We want to learn how to pray for this to happen. We want to persist in our prayers for this to happen. We want to be blessed in our efforts to allow God's Spirit to do his work so we can praise his glorious grace to us in our prayers. I better pray. Father, we may sit here this morning and these words have swept over us, and there's so much for us to remember and take in. But we thank you, Father God, that your Spirit teaches us. Your Spirit teaches us what Jesus said, because he only teaches us the truth. And Father, I pray this morning, as each one thinks about how they can be more devoted, more persistent, more committed to prayer. I pray that it won't be out of a sense of duty or blind obedience. It would be out of a desire to know you better, to understand who you are, and to live in the light of the truth of your word. And so give us your spirit more and more as we seek to be more passionate disciples of your Son and for his sake. Amen.